Welcome to the Vocation Hour, a program that provides insight and encouragement for young men to lay down their lives and heed the call to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And now your host, Father Stephen DeLacy.
Hello and welcome to the Vocation Hour. I'm Father DeLacy, the host of the show. We have a great show in store for you today. I'm very excited for you. Hopefully everyone is enjoying the first day of August, and we will receive many blessings in this month of August. It's a wonderful month. It's the day that the seminarians in this month is when the seminarians return to the seminary. So I ask that you pray for that day, which will be August 22nd. And we just have a wonderful show in store for you today. This past week, we heard our Lord tell the parable of the treasure in the field. You know, that's so powerful that, you know, and at that time, you know, people didn't have banks the way we have banks. If we have valuables now, we get lock boxes, we deposit money to the banks and that sort of thing. People didn't have access to banks. So the safest place to keep your valuables was burying it in the ground. Well, it would have been a common experience to find a lost treasure. Somebody buried it in the ground and then, you know, passed away, or you know was never able to recover it, or whatever. People, you know, would find, you know, their lost treasure. And oftentimes, you know, and in this case, our Lord depicts something very significant, that treasure was so valuable that the person who found the treasure wanted to give everything they had in order to possess that treasure, that they were all in. I think oftentimes the reason why, you know, good Catholics like those that are listening to the show, the only thing that's keeping us from being great Catholics or successful Catholics or saints, is what a successful Catholic is that we're not all in. And so, you know, the treasure in the field where the person goes off and sells everything. If you ever tried to sell things on eBay and that sort of thing, it's hard. It's a lot of work to sell the possessions that you have. If you ever had to sell a house, you know, to bring it up to code, to clean it, to prepare it for sale, it's a lot of work. And so the person would have had to put a lot of effort to detach from all the things in his life in order to own and put and get this possession. And so I think this idea of this all in, you know, it's so vitally important for fostering vocations. So often people don't recognize the amazing treasure that what our Lord was referring to is the kingdom of God. And when we have the kingdom of God, the blessings, the joy, and the fulfillment that comes from possessing the kingdom of God in its fullness is amazing. And it's worth selling everything that we have in order for us to own the field, so that we can own the treasure, so that the treasure is fully ours. If we really understand this teaching that our Lord presents to us, then we will see a flourishing of vocations. You know, men and women called to the religious life will hear the call and recognize, yes, that's the treasure that God wants for me, and I'm willing to sell everything. And those who are called to the priesthood, same thing. You know, I'll give everything for this treasure. And so those who are listening, one of the most important things that you can do for fostering vocations is be all in for your faith. You know, not just giving God some time, give God all of your time. That he wants you to be all in and recognize the great treasure that he has in store for you. Well, as I mentioned, my name is Father DeLacy. I'm the host of the Vocation Hour. If you ever need to get in touch with me, if you have, you know, any questions or wanted to process your vocation, don't hesitate to reach out to me. And you can get to me through the Heed the Call website. That's www.heedthecall.com. A couple of just wonderful things. I mentioned that the seminarians will be returning in August, on August 22nd. And we're inviting all of you to a Facebook Live event on the evening of August 22nd at 7 o'clock. You know, it's you know, on the Vocation Office's, you know, Facebook page, which is Philly Priest, and simply, you know, like that, and you'll receive notices. But at 7 o'clock on August 22nd, we are going to have the State of Vocations Facebook Live event, and we're hoping that many of you will tune in. If you're able to tune in and able to like us and share us and help us to push this forward, it'll be wonderful, because, you know, good things are happening with fostering vocations. But we're not where we need to be, and there's a lot more that we need to do. So that's at the heedthecall.org is the website, and our Facebook is Philly Vocations. All right, so we have a wonderful guest with us today. You know, he himself is a recently ordained priest, and he has the amazing privilege to be a promoter for a priest who, God willing, before too long, will be canonized as a saint. The priest whose canonization is being looked into is Father Tolton, and I can tell you, as soon as my ministry has connected with Father Tolton, amazing movements of grace has happened. And we'll get into that in a little bit, but I think this is a man who will be a very powerful saint. He already is a powerful saint in my sense, and hopefully the church will recognize that and we'll be able to lean on his intercession for the good works that we're doing. So I'm very excited that we're talking about Father Tolton, and I want to introduce you right now to Father Gerard, who is here to talk about this wonderful man of God, Father Tolton. Father Gerard, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And we want to know about you first. So you're recently ordained for the Norbertines, which is wonderful. If you could just kind of tell us, where you're from and your vocation story, and bring us up to speed on where our Lord has led you today.
I'm from Dalesford Abbey in Paoli, Pennsylvania, by way of Louisiana. So I'm a native of Louisiana. I've been a Norbertine young man in formation for the last 12 years. I've been a Norbertine priest for one of those 12 years. As a religious of 13 years, my journey started by visiting Dalesford Abbey. I came there on retreat to discern my priesthood and the call to the priesthood, and here I am. I never left that retreat. That retreat turned into me commuting from my home. I lived in North Carolina at the time, and they allowed me to commute twice a month. And then for 2 years, I investigated and aspired to the priesthood, and I became a postulant. And the regular formation of novitiate for 2 years at Dalesford Abbey. Spent 3 years in simple vows. I took permanent vows in 2014. And have had a joyous time. I was ordained July 9th on the anniversary of Father Tolton's death, 1 year ago this year. And I'm having the time of my life.
Praise God. And Father mentions that he lives at the Dalesford Abbey, which is in Paoli, a very powerful place of prayer and ministry for many years. So many of our listening audience have been blessed by the good ministry for the Norbertine fathers that live there and have been blessed by the great work at the Abbey. I promised some people I would put a plug in for Abbey Fest, which is hosted at the Abbey, and that will be on September 16th. And so you can go online to get the tickets and the details. It's an amazing event where different Catholic artists will come to Dalesford Abbey, which is very holy ground, and experience the faith and enthusiasm for some of our some great music artists. It's a very enthusiastic day for the Eucharist. It ends with a beautiful Eucharistic procession, has Mass as a big part of the day. And so just come, it's family friendly for all ages. And so you want to make sure that you're at Abbey Fest on September 16th. So we have Father Gerard here who is a Norbertine father, and he just brought us up to speed. And when you were discerning, what was on your heart that was drawing you to be a Norbertine father?
Like Father Tolton, when you get a call to the priesthood, many of us are young. So I was young when I got a call to the priesthood. I was a young boy. I was a little altar boy in fifth grade, and I enrolled in a formation program with the Holy Ghost Fathers. And at 17, after spending time in that minor seminary from fifth grade to 12th grade, I joined the formal seminary, Immaculata Seminary, at 17 years old. And all of 6 weeks turned around, I could not grasp a vocation to the priesthood when reality hit me in the major seminary. Mm-hmm. And so I joined the Marine Corps after leaving the seminary. So by 18 years old, now I'm a Marine. I spent 20 years in business. I was married. And then the course of life took place, and I became a single father to two children. And when my children turned 18, after raising those two children,
I decided that my vocation to the priesthood had never left. Mm. And so my spiritual director at the time, a Holy Ghost father and a mentor, SVD priest, both agreed that they thought I should become a Dominican. And Father Al McKnight, a Spiritan, a Holy Ghost father, and Father Dominic Carmen, a bishop in New Orleans, they both said, looked at me and said, "We've been journeying with you since fifth grade. We think you have a Dominican spirit." I said, "Why not a SBD or a Holy Ghost father?" And they said, "Just go pray about being a Dominican." So I went to Daylesford Abbey to find out more about St. Dominic, because he was a canon regular. And the Norbertines are canons regular, and I had never heard of, did not know what it was. So I said, if I was going to discern Dominican life, I needed to know what a canon regular was. And my research of St. Dominic led me to find out the world that the canon regular lives in and his service to the church. And I fell in love with the idea, and Abbot John Neitzel, the founding abbot of Daylesford, God rest his soul, he invited me to give them a look. And he said, "We've been looking at you for the last 2 years on your retreat time with us. And would you look at us?" And here I am. They accepted me the way I am, and I've been having a ball since.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Father Tolton's life is the same story. It has different colors in it. It's a different twist. But it started off with him as a young boy going to the altar as an altar boy. And he didn't really see himself fitting in too easily, but he never gave up. I never saw myself fitting in the church too easily, because other than Father Al McKnight, I had never seen a black priest before. And then Bishop Carmen was then Father Carmen. He was a family member that I didn't meet till I was in seventh grade, because he was off doing mission in the fields and in different countries. So I knew I had a relative that was a priest and African-American, and I knew I had a mentor, but that was it. I thought the world only had two black priests. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure when Father Tolton, as a little boy, never saw any men like him, he had to scratch his head. Mm-hmm. But when he accepted the call, he was turned down over and over and over as a young boy. Even though he studied at Quincy College, there was a young German priest who grabbed a hold of him and said, "You know, I think you have a vocation to the priesthood, but unfortunately we don't have any openings for an African-American priest." And he was kind of he called him Gus. And little Gus, I'm sure, didn't grab the whole picture yet, because he lived in rural Quincy, Illinois, and he was a runaway slave who had just made it to freedom. He was experiencing his freedom and the church all at once. But Father Peter McGurr, a priest of the church, loved him in a way a white immigrant loved this runaway slave. And that was my story when I was a little boy. The white priest who came to my parish, the Holy Ghost fathers loved me in a way. You don't quite understand it, but you know, okay, well, they're being kind to me for a reason. And that's because they recognize our vocation. And so Father McGurr nurtured his vocation. He allowed him to study with the three seminarians at Quincy College, which was at Franciscan University at some point. And now it's called, I think it's either Quincy University or Franciscan University, but the college still exists today. And so despite the fact that Father Tolton was, as a boy, seen as little Gus the runaway slave, they put him into seminary studies. And he learned the Latin, he learned the German, he learned the Irish, and he began to speak English properly. And he learned the other studies with the other seminarians. And as they went on to study seminary, he got refused and turned down at every diocesan seminary that he was sent to. That's my story. When I got to Immaculata Seminary, the Holy Ghost Fathers had made us a space in the abandoned school building across the street, while the white seminarians across the street could live in the seminary. Isn't it wonderful that you have religious men who here today who live and study and work in the same building as your diocesan men?
Absolutely.
In the early 80s, that was unheard of in Louisiana.
Wow.
Yeah, the blacks were not allowed to live in the same building. And they used the excuse that we were religious men. But that didn't wash with me, because when the Franciscans showed up and they were white, they got a chance to live in the seminary building. Mm. That's another reason I left at 17. I wasn't prepared for the racism. Father Tolton, on the other hand, he braced himself, and despite the racism, he never took no for an answer. Mm, mm. The Franciscans took him in, and he said, well, listen, if the diocesan seminary won't take me as a candidate, will you as Franciscans take me? And the Franciscans put a letter in writing that said, and we have that letter today, thank God. They were afraid if they took in Tolton, the other white seminarians would run. And then the vocations would dry up. And they said, listen, we can't let you in here to be a Franciscan. But they called in a favor by writing a letter to Rome. And they got Father Tolton an okay to journey to Rome. And if he could get to Rome, he could study in Rome, and they would put him in the Propaganda Fide, the college there for all the African men and other men of color. And he could go work in the missions as a mission priest in Africa if he could get ordained. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
That's powerful. And just to interject here too, like just, you know, in my role as vocation director, I'm constantly working with men, and for very good reasons. Oftentimes, we have to tell a man, well, you know, you want to go in the seminary this year. Well, you know, let's work on X, Y, and Z, whatever that might be, and then you can go in the seminary the following year. So we're not even giving like no's, we're giving like a not yet. And so often guys will be like, oh, well, that's clear that God's not calling me to the priesthood, and they move on and that sort of thing. Where Father Tolton, you know, he knew that God placed this call in his heart, and stepped up, and the perseverance is remarkable, where time and time again he was given a no, not because, you know, the church discerned he wasn't called to the priesthood. The no had a root in racism and prejudice, and he didn't leave that stop him.
Yes.
You know, so many men would just turn and run. You know, they could say, like, okay, I scratched that itch, I gave it a shot, all right, now I'm free to do whatever I want. Well, not Father Tolton. And you know, you always look for heroic, or the church looks for heroic virtue in the life of saints. And I think certainly his perseverance is so amazing. And from my humble estimation, it's heroic.
It is. It's very heroic, because guess what? He never got that first response. He never got that first yes. Mm. So the cardinal wrote back and said, I'll accept him, but the letter got lost. And
wow.
He still did not give up.
Wow.
So he pressed pause, and he continued to work on his studies. He continued to work on his academic deficiencies. And again, you're right, he didn't give up. He knew it was not a no, I'll go on to the next thing and become a rock star or become a wealthy man or even get married. He did none of that. He stayed prayerfully, patiently, and he persevered, because it was a couple of years later that he asked again, and finally the Franciscans asked again by letter, and the second letter showed up saying, well, we already told you we would accept him. We've been waiting on him. And, you know, and I'm paraphrasing the story, but because of the essence of time, but they received the second letter. So the same priest who had fostered the vocation, nourished the vocation, recognized the vocation, he paid the money to put Tolton on a ship to Rome. Now, knowing you were going to never see your mother and your family, because as a boy, Tolton, his mother, his father, and his two siblings, they stole away from slavery into freedom. His father went off to fight in the Civil War, but he lived with his mother and his sister. The baby that was able to make it to freedom died shortly after they crossed the Mississippi. So now Tolton has already buried a sibling, already lost his father to the Civil War. He only has his mother and his sister, and his vocation did not stop him there. Because he had to say goodbye, knowing that he would never see them again, because he could only serve as a priest in Africa. He couldn't come back to America. That was the reality at the time. What a joy that you know that God is calling you, that you're willing to do what the gospel this Sunday talked about, just as you said. He was willing to go and give away, and the treasures he had at home was not the treasures he was trying to hold on to. Mm-hmm. Although he valued his family, he knew that he had to move on to reach the treasures that was waiting on him, because they had either equal or greater value, which was heaven and his vocation to the priesthood. And so he kissed his mother goodbye and he told his sister goodbye, and he got on the ship. And he arrived in Rome for the seminary February 21st of 1880, if that helps you with the time frame.
Yes.
So in 1880, he would study, and six more years. It wasn't until April 24th that he was ordained a priest at St. John Lateran Basilica, and he would celebrate his first Mass in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, April 25th of 1886. And during those 6 years, he learned how to read and write in Italian, and the letters we have in his penmanship, the teachers bragged in their notes that his written letter in Italian was much better than some of the Italian students.
That's amazing.
Because you had to write the letter in three times. You had to write the letter in the first time for your records. You wrote the letter a second time so that your professor could keep a copy, perhaps proofread it, perhaps know that what was going on. There was no such thing as your right to privacy. There was just censorship going on.
Yes.
And the last letter was mailed off. So I'm sure that practice of writing that letter three times helped him to master the written language of Italian. Father Tolton, his student records are exemplary. He always signed his name A. Period Tolton. And people always ask me, why didn't he sign his name Augustus Tolton? Father Tolton was actually born Augustus Tolton and named after the pagan Caesar. But the priest at the baptismal font baptized his name and turned it into Augustine. And so Father Tolton didn't want to confuse anything, knowing that he had a pagan name at birth and a baptismal name at the baptismal font of St. Augustine. He always went A period as not to confuse the two. So if you see Augustine, that's his baptismal name. If you see Augustus, that's his birth name. We honor his birth name by saying Augustus Tolton.
Yes, yes. And that's why we thought it was important to have this show in August, because that Caesar named this month after himself. I'm kidding, that was totally coincidental, but I wanted to make it sound like we were intentional about that. But anyway.
That's great. Well, the good news is that Father Tolton came back to America after he was ordained, because the cardinal at the time had reached the understanding that they had made an assignment for him to go to Africa after he was ordained. And he met with the cardinal, and he told Father Augustus Tolton, he said, you know, if America is enlightened and is the home of the brave and free and all that they say they are, they will accept you when you get back to America. And so this young priest, to his joy and excitement, needed to go back to America for a lot of reasons, but number one, because his family was there waiting on him. He was going to be real happy to see them. But the other blessing that we found out, that Father Tolton had been tutored by the Sisters of the Notre Dame. And those Sisters of Notre Dame tutored him so he could make it through the seminary studies, even when he wasn't a seminary in America. And as not as a seminarian, but just as a good student, they wanted him to excel. He wanted to go back and tell the sisters thank you. The very first stop when he reached America after traveling back from Rome after the ordination, he stopped in Hoboken, New York, at the first convent of the Sisters of the Notre Dame Order. Now, it wasn't the same sisters that tutored him in Quincy, Illinois. He just knew that there was a convent, Sisters of Notre Dame. His first Mass on American soil was at a convent of those sisters.
Beautiful.
Can you imagine knocking on the door, a black man in a Roman collar, and said, excuse me, sister, I'm a priest. I'd like to celebrate my first Mass at Thanksgiving here. And then him telling the story of his life, and the sisters said yes to that invitation. Isn't it fantastic?
That's powerful. And do you mind if I rewind us back? That's such a powerful moment in those sisters. You know, hopefully you allowed a saint to come in. You never know who you're entertaining,
yes,
and they may have allowed a saint to come in. But just that moment, you know, because, you know, thank God for the cardinal's decision to send him back, because, you know, as you mentioned, the norm was for, you know, any black priest then to go to Africa And you know, I know enough about his story that he was actually learning some African dialects. You know, Father Tolton must have been amazingly brilliant with all the languages that he picked up on and had, had some competency in and that sort of thing. But, you know, let's speculate a little bit, especially I think probably our audience was probably shocked because, you know, oftentimes in the typical, you know, white America, you know, the vision of racism is like, oh, that's a past thing. Which is sad to say it's not a past thing. You know,
oh, no.
It's a current thing.
Racism is alive and well in the church. You just need to follow me back to the monastery if you don't see it. I can show it to you on 180 acres where I live.
Yes.
And then, but here's the joy. The joy is that Father Tolton's life is a model of how to address the racism.
Yes.
And turn the sin into forgiveness and the forgiveness into repentance and the repentance into let's have a good time in our ministry together. Because the people that I know who pay attention to Father Tolton's life find out that he's a suffering servant in our time.
Yeah.
And the suffering servant doesn't stay at the cross. The suffering servant goes through the garden to get to the tomb to experience the resurrection. Mm-hmm. So yes, we have the sin of racism, but Father Tolton's life doesn't stop at that racism.
Beautiful.
It stops at the resurrection.
Mm.
That's the joy. And he had a good time in the garden. He only lived to be 43 years old.
Mm.
But his short priestly life helped him to have time of, can you imagine in your lifetime, you had the German priest, Father McGurr, and other priests. And then now you have these Sisters of the Notre Dame, all of them white.
Mm.
Like, I had the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament journey with me.
Oh, sure.
He had the Notre Dame sisters. So now he's got the priests and religious women. When he showed up in America, the church that he had been kicked out of as a little boy, by the way, he is now the pastor of.
Wow, wow.
And so these white parishioners in this diocese has to accept that the priest is the pastor for the black Catholics. They wanted to hear and understand and see. I'm sure they went there to gawk. But once they saw this anomaly, if you will, of a black man in a Roman collar, they sat long enough to hear his preaching.
Yeah, yeah.
And so much so we have on record where the priest of the diocese sent word to the bishop and said, listen, this black priest is taking our parishioners.
Mm.
And so before we understood what multicultural parishes look like, Father Tolton now had a multicultural parish.
Wow.
He was taking the parishioners, and the bad news was that the collection was coming with them. So the other white priest called the bishop and said, listen, we don't know what we're going to do. Our parishioners are down there with the black priest in the black mission church. You have to do something. He's got to go. And so even though he was appointed pastor in July 25th of 1886 of St. Joseph Church in Quincy, he still had experienced the racism, and this time it came from the brother priest.
Very sad, very sad. It was never easy for him.
Never.
And all these steps. There
never.
Was always, you know, resistance and the evil racism just.
But he never gave up.
Beautiful.
So the beautiful priest who once took care of him as a boy are now his I don't want to say enemy, but they don't like him, and they want him out. And they're giving bad stories to the newspapers. We are blessed to have the newspapers that unfortunately show their racism because they quoted it calling him the N-word. Nobody likes
horrible.
To use the N-word. Can you imagine a priest of God saying to the news reporter and the news reporter printing this in the paper? We have the papers.
Yeah.
Isn't that great that we would have copies of the papers? So we can prove that the racism had stopped coming from out of the pews and started coming from his brother priest. Well, he was still run out of town by a wealthy woman whose daughter wanted to get married, and she had sent word for the priest in the diocese not to witness this woman's marriage because she did not approve of the daughter's fiance. The daughter went to Father Tolton and said, Father, would you understand and journey with us? We want to get married. He found that they were predisposed and prepared and ready to receive the sacrament of marriage. And he performed the ceremony with them, and the sacrament was administered by the couple. And Father Tolton, this woman put a bounty on his head.
Wow.
So here he is, a free man. He has a bounty on his head. And for the second time in his life, with a bounty on his head for the second time, because as a young boy, him running away from slavery, he had a $100 bounty on his head as a little boy. And now he has another $100 bounty on his head as a priest.
Wow.
And he's run out of town by this woman.
Wow. And let's pause there for a moment. You're listening to the Vocation Hour, a very captivating story, the life of Father Tolton, told it to us by Father Gerard here. So we were blessed to have him on the show. And, you know, coming from Louisiana, where they're known for delicious food, I'm curious how our cheesesteaks, and when we come back from break, we'll ask you, we'll get your response, how our cheesesteaks here in the Philadelphia area compares to jambalaya. So where the audience is very curious to get that insight. But you're listening to the Vocation Hour. For anyone that has tuned in late here, a great and dynamic show, just a couple commercials. One, if anyone is stirred up, especially by this very dynamic story of perseverance and sanctity and not allowing anything to get in your way for where God is calling you, and the mission that he gives to you is what Father Tolton represents. And so if this is stirring in your heart, and especially if you feel that you may have a call to the priesthood, well, you're able to get my contact information. I'm Father DeLisi, the host of the show, at the heedthecall.org website. That's www.heedthecall.org. Just a couple commercials. One, we have a great Facebook Live event coming up on August 22nd. You know, we have, it's on our Facebook page, which is Philly Vocations. We ask that you come on there and like the page, and then you'll get the notification when we do go live. And if you're able to work it out in your schedule that you can come to the August 22nd Facebook Live event just by simply, you know, logging onto your Facebook and coming to the Philly Vocation page, then we'll be able to, you'll be able to see the message. It's the state of vocations. We're doing better when it comes to vocations, but we're still not where we need to be. And we're calling all leaders in the church to please tune in to see what work you can do to actively foster vocations. Also, another plug that, you know, at Dalesford Abbey, where Father Gerard lives and with the Norbertine Fathers, they're having Abbey Festival on September 16th. Just an encouragement to bring the whole family out to a day of just great faith, fun, and fellowship on the beautiful grounds of Dalesford Abbey. So, Father Gerard, we're coming back to you here, and you're doing a magnificent job of sharing with us, you know, the person and life of Father Tolton, who God willing, one day will be a canonized saint. And we'll get into some of the details along those lines. But the burning question is, how does the Philadelphia cheesesteak match up against the cuisine that you grew up with?
You know, Father Tolton's mother was his cook and housekeeper. And if Gus was alive, I dare not try to speak for him, but Father Gus would probably tell you there's no cooking like mama's cooking. So I tell you, jambalaya in my mother's kitchen is the best. Now, my mother's been gone and I hope in heaven since 99.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But the cheesecake that the stepmothers that have kept me since I arrived in Philadelphia, all the beautiful lay women at Dalesford Abbey has fed me Italian food and Philly cheese steaks and you name it. So the food is good in Philadelphia, but there's nothing like the jambalaya at mama's table.
Understood. When was the last time you had good authentic jambalaya?
Good authentic jambalaya. I can tell you that I had it in July of 99. That was the last time my mother was able to cook a meal for me. July of 99. You're making me hungry, Father.
That's sorry. Okay.
That's okay. The good news is that we were talking about Father Tolton, and here you have a man who was with his family doing ministry, and he had to be run out of town. His mother and his sister would flee with him again. So as a little boy, they as a family ran from slavery to freedom. Now these three people doing ministry together, the mother as the housekeeper, the sister as the sacristan, and Father Tolton as the priest, they would get permission to go to Chicago. And Chicago would give them refuge. And there they continued their ministry together. They lived together in one house in a rectory. They were assigned the St. Augustine Society because there was a great migration of black Catholics from the South that was showing up in the North, and he would be assigned as a priest to the St. Augustine Society. That St. Augustine Society would grow into the first African-American church in the Archdiocese of Chicago called St. Monica's that Father Tolton created with the permission of the Archbishop. St. Monica's, he started building that church. And speaking of all things Philadelphia, guess who helped him build that church?
I'm guessing our own St. Catherine Drexel?
That's right.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That's right. He knew about Drexel banking because the family had extended that wealth to Chicago. I think it was an uncle living in Chicago at the time. And so he wrote a letter to Mother Catherine, Sister of Blessed Sacrament. And again, I was raised by those women. It doesn't surprise me that Sister would be so kind with her wealth. She sent him the equivalent, or she sent him $35,000 in the mail. They tell me that's equivalent to six figures today.
Wow.
I'm not much on math. I'm better priest than I am a mathematician. But to get $35,000 in the mail from a white religious woman you have never met, this had to be just exciting for him. Mm. It's those things, those joys, those miracles that you can see the hidden treasure because he had given up everything else. He even gave up his life in Quincy, Illinois to go to Chicago to build the first African-American church in the Archdiocese of Chicago. St. Monica's parishioners still exist today. St. Monica's, he would never see it built. He would pass away before it was built. But what a joy that the parishioners, they gave birth to a new church after St. Monica's eventually burned down. St. Elizabeth's, St. Elizabeth's is still present today. Father Dominic Carmen, my mentor, now Bishop Carmen, he was the pastor there. That's how I learned about Father Tolton's life first, knowing that Father Tolton had walked the streets of Chicago and persevered as the only African-American priest known to this country when we had three African-Americans in hiding who were passing for white. Father Tolton was a black priest amongst four, but nobody knew that these three brother, one was a Jesuit, one was a bishop.
Wow.
The Healy boys. Father Tolton was born the year they were already priests, but nobody knew that because the Healy boys were passing for white.
Sure.
Well, Father Tolton walked the streets proud. He, like they said, he was loud, black, and proud. And so his ministry in Chicago was so beautiful. It's still, we still have remnants of Father Tolton's life. The mother and the sister did a wonderful job along with the Christian faithful, and that's because a cardinal welcomed him and the archbishop welcomed him and the brother priest welcomed him. So much so that Father Tolton's life again helped to start building a church for the people in Chicago. He began his ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago in December 19th of 1889. He would do ministry from 89 of the 1800s. He would go on after he started building St. Monica's. His priestly ministry was short and his life was just as short. Father Tolton, who was welcomed by the white priest in Chicago, went on retreat after doing great ministries. I mean, he had to do a retreat because he was now traveling the country. He was the only black priest that showed up at the African-American Congress known as the National Black Catholic Congress. We just had our Congress in Florida these last couple of weeks. Father Tolton went to the very first one.
Wow.
Father Tolton was in Chicago. Father Tolton, when Philadelphia was the host of the National Black Catholic Congress at St. Peter Claver Catholic Church here in Philadelphia, we have a picture of him standing on the steps of St. Peter Claver's church.
Wow.
Father Tolton walked the streets of Philadelphia during that Congress. He went to Cincinnati, he went to other Congresses. So he's traveling the country now. And he's going into the ghetto when he's home because St. Monica's parish was for the poor and the migrant who came from the South. And there was a slaughterhouse around the corner. And they tell me this slaughterhouse had a stench that came over the church property. Sometimes you just had to walk away the slaughterhouse smell. So Father Tolton's not only dealing with heavy travel, he's dealing with the ghetto that he's living in. And at the time, being a sickly person himself, he always would go into parishioners' homes where we don't have the luxuries of hospice care preparing the person, or we don't have the care of home health care nurses caring for the person. So what he walked into, he would never know. He walked into illness and he walked into death. And that would wear down on him. So he took a retreat one day with his brother priests, and the retreat went well, they say, and he returned home after a beautiful retreat. He gets off the train in the Hyde Park, Kenwood area of Chicago, and he walks two blocks from the train station, and he passes out from a heat stroke and his own body failing him. That was on July 9th of 1897. Being a black man, being a priest, there was nowhere to receive him, but the Mercy Nuns would take in this black man when they really, the trouble they could have received for caring for a black person in this white hospital, just a few miles from where he collapsed with the heat stroke. And the sisters, to their credit, they worked on him as best they could because the doctors wouldn't touch him. Mm. How beautiful is that?
Wow, wow, wow.
See the joys of racism turn into the joys of the resurrection? Mm, These women knew, hey, listen, we don't have a black man here. We have a man of God. We have a priest. We have a good Christian brother. We have one of our own, a good Catholic boy. We have a human being lying on this table. Mm. And they put all of that aside, the social situation at the time, the prejudice, the restrictions they were probably working with as hospital workers. Mm-hmm. They put aside and they tried to save this man's life when they could have gotten great retribution from that. Mm-hmm. So Father Totem passed away in the middle of the night on July 9th. And they say they came by the thousands mm-hmm. when the funeral took place. He had two funerals. His first funeral would be in Chicago on July the 12th at St. Monica's Church that he helped to build. Now, there was a lower church that was finished, and there was an upper church that wasn't finished. And they said they couldn't stick everybody in the lower church. And he had a beautiful glass coffin so that they could see this holy man of God. Mm. Now, that was a privilege only given to politicians and the wealthy. And here you have a priest of God, unheard of, that the papers would report a glass coffin for a black man, not a politician, not wealthy, and they were amazed that he would have a glass coffin. Mm. And it was because the thousand that lined up to see this man and to be near his body because they had heard him preach. They had watched him minister in the streets. And his preaching was so phenomenal. One of the most beautiful sermons we have from Father Totem, he said while he was alive, he said, "I am who I am today, a priest of God, because the church did not disdain me. I am who I am because the priest of God took care of me." In those kind of words, you knew he was happy despite the troubles. That's why we would say he was a suffering servant in our time. Isaiah was glad to heed the call of God, but Isaiah was a suffering servant. But Isaiah saw the joys in that call. Father Totem saw the joys.
Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, very powerful.
And even after he's deceased, the people would not stop coming. So we know they filled the pews up when he preached. And here they are filling up the streets when he passed away.
And just for a point of clarification, too, it wasn't only blacks that were coming to hear him preach. It was whites, too.
Yes, that's what was so amazing. When the other priests are complaining, they're losing their collection. You know the collection came from the whites. And the white priests were not happy. That's why they ran him out of Quincy, Illinois.
And so at this funeral, too, it would have been.
So he goes to Chicago, and the preaching is so phenomenal, he stops being a chaplain to a society and is assigned to be a pastor at a church. Mm. And it's recorded where the whites and the black, again, Father Totem created a multicultural parish before there was even such a word. Mm. There was no word to describe multiculturalism in those time and age. You got to remember, we're in the 1880s and 1890s. So he had a multicultural following of faithful Christians who wanted to hear God's word out of his black lips. Mm. Now, some came just to see, but what kept them there, what made them come back again, was his preaching and the way he cared for people and the way he loved the church, to take it from a street ministry to a ministry in a sacred space, and how he didn't just stop at the altar, because he was a very Eucharistic priest. Mm. Father Tolton celebrated daily Mass when that was not the common practice. So we know him to be a Eucharistic priest. Daily Mass was not common in the 1880s. It just didn't have enough priests to go around to do that. Mm-hmm. But Father Tolton is on record as being a Eucharistic priest who celebrated the Eucharist daily. I'm sure that's what drew a lot of non-blacks to his altar, so that they could receive the Blessed Sacrament. I'm sure it was his life with the good priests that he lived and the good sisters. If you want to say daily Mass, go introduce yourself to a nun. That's the first thing she's going to ask you. Father, you think you can stop by the convent and say Mass for us a few times?
Exactly.
You know, I'm so glad to be a part of that life and that world and that existence. And so Father Tolton's death brought those same thousands of black and white, you know. You got to remember, it was a time of great migration and immigration. So they were not only Americans, but they, just like the German priests and the Irish priests and those French sisters from Notre Dame who took care of him, it was the Irishman and the Frenchman and the American who lined the streets. They put him on a train because he did not have a coffin to be buried in. He did not have a grave to be buried in Chicago. So in this borrowed coffin, he's put on a train to go and receive a borrowed grave. His second funeral was July the 13th in St. Peter's Church in Quincy, where he was his first time being assigned a pastor. The current pastor says if he doesn't have a grave to be laid in, send him back to Quincy and we'll bury him in my grave. And so Father Tolton's life was a beautifully written testimony of the life of Jesus Christ in the gospel, alive and well in his priesthood. And so Father Tolton is laid to rest in Quincy, Illinois, in that borrowed grave. We exhumed the body to find that glass coffin, to find his priestly collar. And so we know he's not a myth. His body was exhumed December 10th of last year, and the cause continues. So please pray for the cause.
Absolutely, and we'll in a moment we'll talk about that. And just wow, I mean, what a remarkable man of God this Father Tolton is. You know, there would have been many occasions where he could have absorbed the hatred that he received, and then been hateful. You know, like that would be a very natural human response and that sort of thing. But God's grace was captivating him and animating him, and you know, he never responded, you know, hatred for hatred, but he responded, you know, with God's love, you know, and that must have been the source of his power, you know, for when he preached, you know, receiving our Eucharistic Lord, being so devoted to our Lord, he just kind of spread the love and just like, you know, what a catalyst for healing in our country.
Yes,
that he is.
He was a great healer, great reconciler.
Yes,
and that same joy that kept Father Tolton is what keeps black priests in the service today, what draws African-American males today. We have to let the church know of this joy. We have no African-American saints in the church. If Father Tolton is canonized, he will be the first person to be honored as the first African-American saint in this country. If more people knew about the joy, despite the racism, despite the struggles, despite the challenges, the beauty is the joy. The joy that I have, I guarantee you, it's the same joy that Augustus Tolton embraced, kept, and experienced. It's the same joy that the religious women of color enjoy. That's why the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament have lasted so long. It's the same joy why the church in America, the African-American church, is alive and well, and the National Black Catholic Congress lives, and so many other beautiful things, is that the struggles that the black person in America has the experience is a reality. Racism today is still a reality. But the reality we have to remind folks that is greater is the reality of Jesus Christ in the gospel, living and breathing, and it's a lot of fun. I'm sure it's the same fun that Gus had as a boy. I had it. It's the same joy that Gus had in the seminary. I had it. It's the same joy that Gus had when he was a priest. I'm having it now. I'm so glad to be sitting in this place we call the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, knowing that he walked these streets. Here I am. I can find the love of Jesus Christ despite struggles. There's joy.
Praise God. Beautiful. Well, and well said. And I think probably our everyone listening is curious, you know, of where Father Tolton is in the cause and that sort of thing. You know, we introduced you as having a special designation of being a promoter of the cause and that sort of thing. Could you give us an update on where he is with the cause and what we might be able to do to support the cause?
I'm so excited you asked me that question. At St. Raymond's Church, Bishop Joseph Perry, the postulator for the cause, who is the Auxiliary Bishop of Chicago, will be the primary and principal celebrant of the 10 o'clock morning Eucharistic celebration. Mass starts at 10, St. Raymond's in Mount Airy.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Father Chris Walsh is the pastor. Father Walsh is inviting everyone to join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. You can meet the postulator. You will also meet 13 individuals that we're going to appoint as total ambassadors to do the work here in Philadelphia mm-hmm. on the ground. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing about the cause is the prayer for canonization. Father Tolton's life has been examined. We did a historical research. Father Cyprian Davis, God rest his soul, was the person in charge of the historical data dug up on Father Tolton. We can prove that he wasn't a myth mm-hmm. through the work of Father Cyprian Davis and others on the historical commission. And so the positio is being put together in Rome with the Roman postulator. And he has two alleged miracles that's being given to him. Mm-hmm. So those miracles are being re-examined and confirmed by Rome. And the good news continues that he is on his way. The blessing is that Father Tolton is not alone. He has four other candidates that are up for canonization. Pierre Toussaint, Henriette DeLille, Mother Lang, and Miss Julia Greeley. So there's a communion of candidates that we hope to get in the communion of saints. We just hope Father Tolton's the first African-American saint. If you want to know about the cause, come to St. Raymond, 10 o'clock on Sunday, Mount Airy. Father Chris Walsh is the pastor. Bishop Perry will be the preacher and presider that day.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's wonderful. And, you know, praise God for you know, your joyful witness of the gospel and you know, the gift that Father Tolton is, and for the good work that you know, that you're engaging in promoting this and that sort of thing. And I don't know, you know, we still have about four more minutes. Maybe we can end the show with the prayer for the canonization. Do you have that on your person, Father, or not to put you on the spot there?
We'll save it. Let's say, can we get two more minutes in?
Yes, we can, yes.
All right. So the other 2 minutes, I want to let people know that if you have an alleged miracle because you're already praying the prayer of canonization, you can go to ToltonCanonization.com. And you can get a copy of the prayer there. If you have a miracle, please call it in to Bishop Perry's office. Call the cardinal in Chicago. Call someone in Chicago of authority, such as Cardinal Supich or Bishop Perry, because we have hundreds of favors that we've proven to be to Father Tolton's credit through his intercession.
Beautiful.
The prayer is the most important thing. People can also reach me. If they need, I am the new parochial vicar at St. Ignatius Catholic Church. Mm. You're welcome to call St. Ignatius Catholic Church. And then we hope to follow your Tolton Roadshow.
Yes, yes. So our producer of the Vocation Hour also, you know, is a filmmaker, and we have a wonderful film, the Vocation or the Tolton film, which is a very dynamic depiction of Father Tolton's vocation. And we're going around to different parishes to show that. So, you know, if your parish would like to have us come and present the film and we do some vocational work surrounding it, it would be great to have you. You also find updates on the canonization process and that sort of thing. And you can get in touch with me through the heedthecall.org website.
And I heard since your producer and I met, you have two African-American men that are either being accepted or already been accepted to the seminary.
So God is good and doing some great things in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. That, you know, we had an African-American seminary last year. Praise God, we just accepted an African-American man to study this year. So I think Father Tolton's intercession is really moving the hearts of young men. You know, and I think, you know, one of the patrons that Father Tolton's going to be is going to be for vocations. You know, not only with African-American men, but in a powerful way for African-American men, but I think for all vocations.
Yes.
You know, he's going to be just a very powerful intercessor.
Because he's proven that there's no black and white. He's proven that there's no rich or poor, educated or uneducated. Father Tolton proved that we are all just humans created by God, doing the work of God. So, amen. I agree with you 100%, dear brother.
It's wonderful. Well, let's pray the prayer. Yes, yes. So,
oh God, we give you thanks for your servant and priest, Father Augustus Tolton, who labored among us in the times of contradiction, times that were both beautiful and paradoxical. His ministry helped lay the foundation for a truly Catholic gathering in faith in our time. We stand in the shadow of his ministry. May his life continue to inspire us and imbue us with that confidence and hope that will forge a new evangelization for the church we love. Father in heaven, Father Tolton's suffering service sheds light upon our sorrows. We see them through the prism of your son's passion and death. If it be your will, O God, glorify your servant, Father Tolton, by granting the favor I now ask through his intercession. So that all may know the goodness of this priest whose memory looms large in the church he loved, complete what you have begun in us, that we might work for the fulfillment of your kingdom, not to us the glory, but glory to you, O Lord, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are God, living and reigning forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Father Jarre, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll have to have you come back again and give us an update on the good news that of Father Tolton's progress in this cause for canonization, and also to get more into your story and the insights that you bring.
Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. Well, you've been listening to the Vocation Hour, and you know, God bless you, and let's keep building up a culture of vocations.
The Vocation Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Holy Spirit Radio.